Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
How dare you? And I want to go wide on me right here. How dare you, Carolina Panthers and the fan base, and anyone else dare to put David Tepper and Dan Snyder's name in the same sentence? I get it. Tepper is meddling too much. Let me know when David Tepper says, I'm never changing the name of the team, and then has to change the name of the team a year later. Let me know when David Tepper is accused of spying on the cheerleaders and getting naked photos of them and then pipping them out to the team sponsors. Let me know when David Tepper is accused of that, okay? And when that happens, when all of that happens, then you can compare David Tepper to Dan Snyder. But until that point, do not take away the worst owner in professional sports history from Commanders fans, because we had to live that hell for 20 years. And you, Panthers fans, all you've had is a couple of tough years. That's it. I'm just saying. I was so offended.
Sam. Good. Goodbye, Matthew. One of your better moments on the show.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside a recovered Matthew Berry. His voice is back.
What's your voice, Matthew?
Lawrence Moneyline Jackson in the house, and of course, Jay Croucher.
The underrated part of that whole is just Jay being like, one of your better moments on the show. Just like, we worked together for almost 2 years at this point, and I like the fact that you were just like begrudgingly admit, like, hey, you know, that wasn't terrible.
Yeah, it was actually
power
decent.
Power rankings in my own head.
A little surprise in your voice. Yes. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, that edged you going on the 57-minute rant about the refs after the Giants Commanders last year.
Yeah, fair enough. That's fair enough. Still not as good as just me eating popcorn for an entire show.
I've got that your lowest moment.
What would a popcorn eating? I would say that's more of a polarizing act.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Either gotta love it or you gotta
it's
hate
like
it.
Like Magnolia. You know what I'm popcorn moment, that's your Magnolia.
That's fair enough. There we go. Listen.
That's fair enough. Where I thought that video was going, I hadn't seen it before how it was edited. I thought they were going to go like, and then 4 minutes later, because after you guys applauded, I still did it like another 2.5 minutes because there were things that I forgot. Like I had forgotten about the fact that, that like he charged employees for coffee, that he had stolen money from that he'd been accused of stealing money from owners, stealing money from season ticket holders.
So you don't like the Snyder fella?
I'm not a fan. Okay. Hashtag not a fan. Didn't even mention about like Tanya Snyder. Tanya Snyder goes on Schefter's podcast after all the allegations, there's 45 women that come out, that this huge Washington Post story, and Schefter gives Tanya Snyder an opportunity. He says something like, he's like, how do you guys feel, or something like that, with the thinking that Tanya Snyder's going to say, like, you know, all these women, it's awful, you know, we can't wait to hear their stories, you know, that kind of stuff, try to fix things, you know, make a culture change. And she's like, oh, it's been really tough on Dan and I. Like, there's 45 women, right?
You know,
just like,
I've
been really tough on Dan and I, and like, just, you know, just like completely like getting like.
And then the ghost of Dan Snyder came into segment 3 and triggered you into a coughing fit.
Rage.
We didn't talk about the fact that they almost killed Jalen Hurts. Remember when the railing fell on him?
Like, right. We forgot that one.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Or that the stadium, that there was a bunch of, you know, sewage that leaked on fans, like, because he's just so cheap and.
Sewage from the sky. It took us a while to get there, surprisingly. Yeah, it's a big one. Like, well, water just, flying on the
honestly, I was doing it in the moment, and just I was just trying to think of, like, every single thing. Like, and just there's so much.
There's a lot.
It's a lot. Like, I would talk about this last year, and it was so depressing being a Commanders fan because people would say, like, did you see the story? Or did you see the lawsuit? And you'd have to literally be like, which one?
Which one? Yeah. Yeah.
Which one? Like, honestly.
RG3's knee. We didn't get to that. Which how one? They handled
right.
That.
Exactly. Yeah.
Trent Williams,
right? That he told,
yeah,
the guy had cancer, and the guy was just, and like Snyder's response was some version of like, yeah, rub some dirt on it and get out there.
Put the shoulder pads on.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Three years later, he's still the best tackle in football.
I know. He so butchered it because he enabled Bruce Allen, and Bruce Allen screwed the relationship with Kirk Cousins, screwed the relationship with Trent Williams. Like, I don't know. And brutal number one draft picks throughout the... anyway, stop it.
Plenty to do today.
Get to Jim Zorn.
No, Jim Zorn's its own episode, I think. Listen, we're going to get to Who's Eating Good, highlighted by Arthur Smith. We'll continue to give Bijan Robinson the football. We'll debate whether to start or sit Jerome Ford, Puka Nacua, and Deontay Johnson and keep it open or close it out. And, of course, we will highlight our favorite bets on early line alert at the end of the show. But let's jump into the Roto-World player news. For all your Roto-World player news, go to NBCSports.com, and we start with Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor managers You Drink Free for riding this roller coaster this season. It just continues to go up and down. And now with the thumb surgery, he's going to miss multiple weeks back on the downside.
When we talked about it on the show yesterday, the news had broken from NFL Network that there was an injury. There was a thumb injury. We didn't know the severity of it. Would he miss time? And then Jim Irsay breaking news on his, you know.
Always reliable.
National treasure, Jim Irsay. I understand he's a controversial figure for a lot of people. I'll just say this about Jim Irsay. Number one, he's helping fantasy managers out. And number two, he's the first NFL owner that was anti-Dan Snyder that publicly said,
this is true.
He started the ball rolling. Everyone else was scared to say anything. And then Irsay, so he'll always have my gratitude for that. Here you see some footage of
he was toting a rock,
Jonathan,
too, man.
Yeah, of Jonathan Taylor playing very, very well. I don't know why producer Adam, is showing footage. Is this to just remind people what they're not going to have? Is this rubbing salt in the wounds?
Look, we got Jonathan Taylor managers Drink Free. Like, where are my drinks at, then? Because the only two leagues I'm in first place in, I have him. And I ain't got Zach Moss, so where's my drinks at? Yeah, so Adam, I think he is reminding us what we don't got.
Ian Harditz over there at FantasyLife.com. Best advice I got for Jonathan Taylor fantasy managers, cry.
I've done that.
So have you?
Yeah, I already
undid
it.
When you cry...
Because we didn't expect this.
I know. But when you cry, because you strike me as a stoic man,
yeah.
Well, is it curl up in a ball cry? What's it look like?
It's just like me looking at you like this, and you just see it drizzling.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yes. And those that cry is more painful than the boo-hooing.
Sure.
Because then when you just looking serious, it's just like, and you just know the pain is set in.
That's on
and
us.
And it's like...
That's a double.
Tear.
Could be
that's
a triple.
That's on us, and that's a double. So, you know, it's funny, but yeah, like, this was in the Fantasy Live newsletter this morning, but it just... Which is like, Zach Moss, league winner again. He looked like a league winner, you know, then it was like, back to the bench, and then he was thrown on the waiver wire in a lot of places, and then 51% available, and now back to being a league winner. I mean, look at his upcoming schedule. So Tennessee... who he had, almost 200 total yards, as you see it there on your screen, week 5 against the Titans, 25 for 195 and 2 tutties against them. He gets another start as well. I'm at running back 6 this week, and then he's at Cincinnati, home to Pittsburgh, at Atlanta. You like that lineup here. I mean, this is somebody that's going to lead you into the fantasy playoffs. We'll see if Jonathan Taylor is back for the Falcons game in 4 weeks, but 2 to 3 weeks for Jonathan Taylor, then you figure they ease him back a little bit, like... Zach Moss is going to be a thing as well. The 3 games before Jonathan Taylor returned, he played 84% of the snaps.
Yep, and Stephen Holder at ESPN, who covers the Colts, he noted that Shane Steichen said that they're not expected to make a move at running back and that Zach Moss will get the overwhelming majority of carries. Yeah. So this is going to go back to what we were talking about. This is going to be Zach Moss's backfield.
Right, their backup's Trey Sermon. Yeah. Like, Zach Moss's backup is... former Eagle great, former San Francisco 49er great, right,
Oklahoma,
or Ohio State great, yeah. Trey Sermon.
So the backup is Zach Moss as well.
Exactly.
Right. Well, yeah, like
the
Trey
is
Sermon,
Gardner Minshew throwing it 40 times.
Trey Sermon will get those touches whenever Zach Moss need that little breather from time to time, but it won't be like how Zach Moss got those carries behind Jonathan Taylor.
Ooh.
Well, Lawrence, Berry has him as RB6 this week now, Zach Moss. Are you that high on him with the injury to Taylor?
I got him at running back 15. Okay. I got him at running back 15.
Why do you hate Zach Moss?
That's a lot of love for Zach Moss, considering I got Bijan at running back 10.
Why do you hate Bijan Robinson?
You know, Jets defense, you know, 34 over under in that game.
Yeah.
A lot of and you mentioned Zach.
When the Falcons win 34-0, how many of those touchdowns do you get?
They only 2.5-point favorites in that game. Timmy Boyle, you know, he had a week under center. You know, he might be ready to go.
I don't think he will be. I think he'll be ready to lose again. I think the sneaky thing with the Colts, and this hasn't probably been talked about as much, like the Colts, they haven't played a single game in primetime, I don't think. People just don't really think about the Colts. Yeah. Somehow they're 6-5.
They played at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Against the
Overseas.
Patriots.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one Europe game that no one watched. But the Colts, their offensive line is a lot better than it has been the past 2 years. The offensive line right now is better than it was in 2021 when Jonathan Taylor had a historic season. Quentin Nelson is playing really well. Braden Smith, Ryan Kelly's been hurt, but expect him back. Like, it is a really solid offensive line. And also, Gardner Minshew, his service numbers are okay. He's not been very good. Like, they want to run the ball, and I think they're going to be in position to against the Titans team that's really struggled.
Some other injuries that we're tracking so far, of course, Kenneth Walker, and we'll get to more on that in just a second. Devon Achane with the knee, Chris Olave with the concussion, Rashid Shaheed with the quad, not expected to play. T. Higgins with the hamstring. Yeah. DeMario Douglas has a head injury, not necessarily concussion right now. Amari Cooper with the ribs. DTR dealing with a head injury as well. And obviously that one at the top is the big one there. Kenneth Walker still dealing with the oblique. And we got to hear from Pete Carroll, kind of, on the status of Kenneth Walker.
So first off, this, because it's a different week, this is not a day that we have to designate what's going on as far as injuries, so we're just laying low on that stuff. So I know you'll all ask and all that because somebody tells you you got to, but I don't have all your answers for you today. Sorry.
Yeah, we do have to. How did Ken Walker do this week?
He's going to go into this game with some question. There'll be some question here.
All right.
I don't Thanks, have babe. To tell you anything, so I'm not going to nanny nanny boo boo. That's literally what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that he said, I know you guys have to ask because someone told you to ask. Like, reporters are like
natural curiosity.
Yeah.
It's inherent.
I would think, you know, if they're covering the team, that's sort of their job. They didn't need to be told, hey, is the starting running back playing on Thursday or not? That's the thing. It's the short week now. I mean, again, they played last Thanksgiving, so they've had 7 days to prepare for this game. But they're the Thursday night game. They play tomorrow night against the Cowboys. Feels like it's another Zach Charbonnet day.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and even if it's not, and I think it will be, they're 9.5-point dogs to the Cowboys, which is kind of incredible when you think that 2-3 weeks ago, Seattle were right in the mix to win the NFC West over the Niners, and now all of a sudden, it's kind of fallen apart, and I don't think that Kenneth Walker is going to play in this game, wouldn't suspect, and so Charbonnet will be the guy. It's not a great matchup for him, but just with the usage, you'd think that he's going to be startable.
And they've been using him more in passing down, so even in a game, if they get down big, you know, you hope that Charbonnet would be out there. You see it right there. He did catch 4 balls. He had 18 total touches against the Niners last week. The usage was there. The fantasy points weren't. It was 9.8, but the usage was there for Zach Charbonnet. And so, again, tough matchup against a Cowboys defense. But you know what? The fact is that the Cowboys, as dominant as they are, like, they're like a middle-of-the-pack run defense. They're not amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can somewhat run on them. You hope that game script doesn't get away for it. We'll talk more about that game tomorrow. But certainly, if you have Ken Walker, KW3, I would plan to be without him. The other one that's really interesting to me, T. Higgins. Like, this was supposed to be a one-week thing, and it just feels like it keeps going on. And the other issue, of course, is Cincinnati plays on Monday this week. And so you may not know about T. Higgins' status, and hopefully we get more information as the week goes along. But you may not know about Higgins' status until, you know, by the time you have to make decisions on Sunday morning.
Yep. Also, Chris Olave as well, concussion. Expect that he's probably going to miss, given that guys typically don't come back in a week from concussion, particularly as he had a concussion last year too. And so the Saints are just going to have no wide receivers. So I think
it's 23 targets incoming for A.T. Perry.
Yes, which
you
is
got
stunning.
A.T. Perry, Lynn Bowden saw some snaps in that game against the Falcons. So they really, the cupboard is getting a little bare.
Not a little bare.
You know,
it's very bare.
A big bear.
Yeah.
Look for Juwan Johnson to do a little something too.
DeSean Jackson retired 3 hours ago. He might need to unretire and come back.
I know. I saw that and I was just like, I thought he was.
Right, it's one
of
those.
He just keeps popping up. He's like, oh, is he on the Ravens?
Nah, man, it's official now. Shout out to DeSean Jackson, the best deep threat in the game ever.
With that, let's move over to Who's Eating Good, served by Applebee's. And we hinted at the top of the show, we're starting with Bijan Robinson. He's got the Jets this week, Lawrence. For Barry, he comes in as RB11. They've been feeding Bijan most notably in the red zone a little bit more, and he's been productive the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to see is fantasy managers who drafted him hoping he could be a top 5 or 6 running back for the season. And you look at the matchup versus the Jets, and you think, oh, man, Jets defense. The Jets defenses are more so scary from a fantasy perspective to quarterbacks and wide receivers because you know what the Jets have on the defensive back end. But the Jets allow the 8th most fantasy points to running backs, and 3 out of the last 5 games, they allowed a running back to rush for 115 yards. And when you look at just this Jets matchup, it's solid. Mostert was able to break a couple of versus defense, but then you look at the Falcons versus Tampa, Carolina, Indy down the pipeline, Bijan Robinson could be one of the running backs in the fantasy playoffs that, like, literally win you those weeks there.
I think the most important thing for me about Bijan Robinson isn't just the fact that there's finally been some consistent usage from Lawrence's Atlanta Falcons, 19 touches in consecutive games, but it's the high-quality touches, right? So 9 red zone rushes in the last 4 games for Bijan Robinson. Compare that with the weeks 1 through 7, where he got 7 red zone rushes. He was actually being out. Tyler Agille was actually out touching Bijan Robinson in the red zone. Last 2 games, that hasn't happened. You mentioned how Mostert got in twice against the Jets last week. Because Bijan's so versatile, and because they've started to use him in the passing game. Shocker, Arthur Smith. The fact of the matter is that Bijan Robinson comes in at running back 11 for me. High-end RB2, low-end RB1 this week. I think he will continue to eat good in the neighborhood. The only thing that is a concern is he's had under 40% of the team's rushes in 2 of the past 3 games. Like he's scoring touchdowns, which is great, and he's getting high-quality touches, but the fact is that they still – Algier is still much more involved than candidly he should be.
That Saints game as the Falcons was running down the clock and kind of putting the game away, it was all Tyler Algier. And I think at that point, those last couple drives, he was getting chunks of 5, 6, 7 yards. So, like, you know, they just stuck with it. They're like, hey, we got this 9-point lead. We not going to find a way to blow it in 2 minutes. Like, we know how to do that. So that goes into that as well.
Yeah, I think the other thing from that game is that your man Desmond Ridder was no good in that game. He was not impressive coming back for his first start after Heinicke goes down, and I'm not sure.
Which is weird because he's been so impressive all year long.
You know, it's crazy too because Bijan Robinson actually caught a touchdown pass.
That was a nice throw.
Who threw that?
Desmond Ridder?
Yeah, oh, I'll just check.
Is that a trick play that I just missed? But I do.
So you think Desmond Ridder played well?
No.
All right.
He played all right. He played like Desmond. This is the thing about Desmond Ridder, right?
Yeah, okay.
This is the thing. He's in a tier of quarterbacks of people that people rally around. Like a Gardner Minshew. Like, we get all, oh, Minshew mania, da-da-da-da, as if he's some type of, you know, But we get up
for
Gardner Minshew.
That's not good.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's like he's just a guy. But it's not like he's much worse than a Kenny Pickett. He definitely ain't worse than Mac Jones at this point. But those are guys we talked about. Well, not me, but those are guys that were talked about as, hey, maybe they could have a good season.
Yeah. Like, one of them lost their job last week.
Strange passionate defense of Desmond Ridder.
He gets talked about as if he's much worse than these other quarterbacks. Yeah, he's like the Falcons will be in the market for a quarterback.
All right, we're all over the place. Connor Rogers, 2 quick questions. Second one is get us back on track, but the first one very quickly. Talent evaluator, you're starting a team right now. Who do you choose in as your quarterback, Desmond Ridder or Kenny Pickett?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett, who plays with Mike Tomlin.
No, don't try to influence the jury.
I would take Pickett, and you have to keep in mind I had Pickett as QB1 in that draft, which was an awful class.
Yes.
And I had Ridder, I think, 3 or 4. So I'll stick to my evaluation on that.
There you go. Right.
Just last thing on this one, Connor. Do you think the Jets' run defense, which was Miami were able to run the ball in that game. The Jets have had, I know they've given up a lot of points to running backs in fantasy, but a lot of that's just because they're losing games. They've been efficient for the most part. Do you think they've slipped in run defense?
It has, and there's two reasons why. One, the time of possession for the other team is off the charts. They're out on the field, it feels like, the entire game. Number two, they lost Al Woods. That was a big injury. Al Woods was their nose tackle, their run-stuffing nose tackle. He's like 800 pounds in the middle of the field. Nobody can move him. He popped his Achilles as well a couple weeks ago, and they have been a notably different unit without him in the rotation because they don't have that two-gapping fat guy in the middle of the field. And, you know, nobody talks about Al Woods, so they just kind of keep the identity. The Jets' defense, you can't run on him without him, and how much they're on the field, you can.
Yep.
So
I don't like the fact that when you said, you know, it's run-stopping fat guy, you look directly at me, and then I looked at myself on the angle, and I'm just like, that's a bad angle.
You're a two-gapper.
I definitely ate good in the neighborhood during
Take on the double teams.
I could definitely take on the double teams.
Like, point of attack.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm hard to move off the spot.
Linval Joseph over here. Linval
really
Barry.
Am.
Exactly. Dalvin Tomlinson.
Yeah. Right. I'm more like Albert Haynesworth, just like a big, unmovable object.
Got $100 million.
Got paid.
You're
phoning
good.
It in. Right. And just, you know, just gotten fat and out of shape. But, like, I'm still like a big body that, you know, you got to.
Right. Okay. Right. Right, so ESPN was your Tennessee stint.
Totally. Absolutely. Now obviously. I literally made that joke on air over there where I was just like, after my last contract extension there, I was just like, I'm Haynesworthing this. 100%. Oh, yeah. Once you get paid, I'm done. I'm totally Haynesworthing it.
He was good in Tennessee, wasn't he? Yeah. But
sounds like everybody on the desk is a big believer in Bijan Robinson to remain eating good. And with that, we move to Christian Watson here, Lawrence, who we've talked a lot this week and really last week. Jordan Love's been a lot better. Christian Watson is finally healthy, and that is blending together that Watson's had a good little stretch here where he looks like the guy he was drafted to be, making plays down the field, making plays at contested catch situations.
Yeah, it's all going hand in hand. The Green Bay offense, Jordan Love, and now Christian Watson finally getting in the mix. He scored a touchdown in two straight games here. He nearly missed scoring twice against the Chargers in week 11. It was right before the 1 yard line. Going against KC this week, you saw what KC did against the Raiders. They allowed Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers to get back on track. Both of those guys went for 75 yards. They did shut down AJ Brown, the Chiefs did, but Devontae Smith, he got back going. Yeah. So That's you. That looks like me.
With Christian Watson.
With Christian Watson.
More like someone wearing a Lawrence Jackson costume.
you know what I was actually asking him right here? Because this was Super Bowl week. I was asking him who he was going to pick between the Chiefs and the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And he picked the Chiefs. Ironically, that's who they playing this week. I don't think he'll be picking the Chiefs this week, but I do think
he should.
He should.
If he wants to get the pick right.
But something's telling me. Y'all don't think the Packers can win this?
I think they can win.
Yeah,
of course
I like them to cover this week.
I will say this, though. Credit to him because, like, Jay and I, Super Bowl week, Jay and I interview a zillion NFL players, and we asked every single one of them, you know, Chiefs or Eagles. And I think Christian Watson's the only NFL player that literally picked the Chiefs. Like, Jay and I were like, and I picked the Chiefs, and then we went through this week of player interviews, and everyone else took the Eagles, and Jay and I were like, what are we missing?
Yeah, like Patrick Mahomes plays for one team,
right?
He doesn't play for the other.
Every single player, it was just like, I played both these teams, and the Eagles are more physical.
But that'd be factoring into it. Leonard Fournette picked the Chiefs too, though. He was at this.
Interview Leonard.
He was at the same event.
I guess the thing that with that, thinking back on that, is that outside of Mahomes, everything else about the Eagles is better, and everyone else is matched up with other people who aren't Mahomes. And so I think that your individual matchup is probably tougher against the Eagles. But it was strange. And the market was like, the game was picked. Like, it was a coin flip, effectively. Yeah. But everyone lined up behind the Eagles.
Right. Yeah. Except you and I.
Yes.
And we looked.
And it was never in doubt. The result was never in doubt.
We both said, like, because that Monday show, there's like no one around Radio Row. So we had to like talk about the game. Yeah. And we both just said, like, we get it. They're better in every aspect except coach. Yeah. We like Andy Reid over Sirianni. Quarterback, we like Mahomes over Hurts. Tight end, we like Kelce over Goddard. Yep. And experience.
Yep.
It was like literally those, you know, they've been there before and the Eagles never had.
I'm now taking Sirianni over Reed, by the way, after the way that they've managed these seasons. Reed, I can't take any more fourth and four punts from Andy Reed in opposing territory.
Fair enough. It's certainly a lot closer. Okay. I'm willing to give Andy Reed the body of work vote here, but no doubt Sirianni's done an unbelievable job with Philadelphia, and it's a closer conversation than it was a year ago.
So, Matthew, you have Watson, wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, back to Christian Watson. Yeah. Christian Watson, here's the positives of Christian Watson. Healthy, season 9 receiving yards last week. He's now had at least 7 targets in 2 of the last 3 games as somebody who was good down the stretch. Like, we believe in the kid's talent. You know, we've seen this guy be a difference maker, and candidly, we've seen this guy be a difference maker at the time we are right now. Like, he helped a lot of people win fantasy championships last year as well. You like the upcoming schedule. 2 of the next 4, the Buccaneers and the Panthers, are both bottom 6 in terms of most fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers. So there's a nice upcoming schedule here for Christian Watson. Having said all that, they're playing the Chiefs, and it's really one game. I think a lot of my answer on Watson will be, well, is Aaron Jones playing? Because if Aaron Jones isn't playing, then A.J. Dillon, and I don't think he can run, and so I think they'll have to be entirely pass happy. But the Packers defense has started to play a little bit better, and if Jones is in there, he becomes, you know, they've got Jones, they've got Watson, they've got Musgrave, but they've got Dobbs and Jaden Reed, who's coming on, and so a lot of mouths to feed suddenly in this offense. So he comes in at wide receiver 35. So he's not a must start for me this week. Again, it's a tough matchup against the Chiefs. But this week, for the first time in a long time, it's just like you could potentially consider starting Christian Watson. Whereas for a while, he was just so brutal, you know, because he was hurt and him and Love weren't on the same page. They're just like, no, you're not starting him until you see it. Well, now we've seen it, and now I think you can consider it.
Yep. And also with the Chiefs, I think there's this idea that L'Jarius Sneed is this shutdown shadow corner, and he's very good, but he also gets beat. Like, this isn't like Darrell Revis or anything. Like, he should have given up 2 touchdowns to A.J. Brown, and they just didn't connect. Davante Adams got open against him, so I don't think that's as terrifying as some people might think it is. And then the other thing with Watson is that, like, he was so good down the stretch last season, and it seems like he's finally healthy. And just his talent, Connor, between his like gadget type of speed and his ability to win at a contested catch point, like, it seems like he should be a special wide receiver. Is there something about his route running or something that's unrefined?
It's the latter. You brought up the contested catch rate. It was not good in college. The opportunity wasn't there to get better at it, and it's been really up and down at the NFL. It's looked good in recent weeks, but the first year and a half of his career, you're looking at it and going, man, you're massive. You're one of the best athletes we've ever seen from a testing perspective. Why aren't you better in that area? And now we're seeing it improve. So if he dials in and makes that a little bit more consistent, he's a true number one wide receiver.
He is a big guy. Because Lawrence is, I'm thinking back to that picture of you standing next to him, Lawrence.
Lawrence is 6'7".
Right.
I'm only 6'4".
All right. No, Lawrence is legit like 6 foot. It would be my guess is your height.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Sure. Take it.
Be nice. Look, but whatever. Like, that guy's towering over you. You're wearing a hat. Yeah. You know.
Two pair of socks.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, I'll lock his ass up though on that.
We can push him off the line. Hey, worth noting about Christian Watson. Pretty good stat here from Penn State Blake. Since week 6. Watson has 10 end zone targets. That is tied for the second most in the NFL over that stretch. So they are looking for him when they get in close. And so it's been inconsistent as to whether they've connected. But certainly, to your point about Sneed, you know, taking some chances, like, all you need is one here with Watson. Again, wide receiver 35 for me, not a must start, but certainly somebody to consider. And we like his schedule down the stretch. We think he's continuing on the upward track. Yep.
Our final one, Jay, is Tyler Higbee, who it seemed like he wasn't going to be active last week, and then he is active and finishes as tight end 2 on the weekend right now. He comes in as tight end 19 for Barry this week because, truthfully, this is usually the Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp show, but Higbee randomly going off last week.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to continue eating good with the matchup against Cleveland, who have been elite against tight ends. Now, the one thing is that so much of Cleveland's defense emanates from Myles Garrett, who has been, I think, the best defensive player in the year this season. Now, Garrett, who's, again, his arm was in a sling after the game, and he couldn't get dressed, and he said that he heard something pop. But it seems like he's fine. He's just going to play this week. We'll see. I'm not sure if he is still going to be dealing with whatever ailed him in that game. But if he is good to go, then I think this is going to be a pretty tough matchup for the Rams passing game in general, Lawrence.
Yeah, and we use the term he went off. He didn't go off. He caught these two nice touchdowns. He had five catches for 29 yards.
Tight end land, that's a big day.
Yeah, you ain't lying. Yeah. You ain't lying. Those are his first two touchdowns of the season. But you look at some of the recent tight ends they faced. Freiermuth in week 11, one catch for 7 yards. Mark Andrews, 2 for 44. And Trey McBride, 2 for 22, all against this Cleveland defense. And those are three tight ends we're willing to start every week. Mark Andrews is hurt, but you know what I mean. But even without Myles Garrett, I think it's going to be just a tough day at the office for the Rams offense as a whole.
No team allows fewer fantasy points to opposing tight ends than the Cleveland Browns. And to your point, since Cooper Kupp came back, Tyler Higbee has a 12% target share. There's been 7 games that Higbee and Kupp have played since Kupp came back. He's had under 30 receiving yards in 6 of those 7 games. And so, you know, I'm a tight end 19 in my initial ranks. Like, just, I get it. He scored the 2 touchdowns, but no thank you.
Yep. I think Stafford as well, at this point, he's a very defense-dependent type of quarterback, where if he goes up against the Cardinals and he's got time and guys are open, he's going to look like $1 million. If he's running for his life against the Cleveland defensive front and that defense, I think it looks a lot worse, more so than players like, and look, these are better quarterbacks, but Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, these guys are much more defense-independent just because of their skill sets. I think Stafford really needs a good matchup to shine.
Tiger Woods is back. Join him in the Bahamas when he tees off against his friends and rivals in the Hero World Challenge. Catch the action tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Golf Channel and Peacock.
Are we being invited to the Bahamas with Tiger Woods?
We maybe could do a show from the Bahamas. Right at the tee. First tee.
That'd be fantastic.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Live from the Bahamas.
Come on,
NBC. Tiger Woods tees off.
Let us promote the Hero World Challenge live and in person.
That makes you wonder.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I want to hang with Tiger Woods.
You can get to the Bahamas quick enough.
Tomorrow, 1:30 Eastern time. Tiger Woods in person.
We're taking our first break when we're back. Keep it open or close it out is next. Find out if we're starting or sitting James Conner, Adam Thielen, Puka Nacua, and others. Coming right up.
How old are you? How tall are you, Lawrence, again?
6'4".
There you go.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The way the game was called feel different to you?
It's definitely different. It's a new play caller, so it's, you know, you kind of get used to the flow of how he likes to call things, and that's something that we're going to continue to kind of iron out. But felt like every drive we were, you know, having productive drives, moving the ball really well. You know, some penalty things and a turnover that we wish, you know, you want to take out, you know, that would help us put more points up. But overall, you know, happy with how those guys played.
Keep it open or close it out. That was Kenny Pickett at the top talking about the Steelers' offense. No longer called by Matt Canada, so SJ.
I think Kenny Pickett needs a nickname. I just don't like the name Kenny Pickett. It's kind of uninspiring. He needs something. It can't be around pick, because obviously that's an interception.
Right, that's the issue.
He needs a marketing campaign, because right now it's like, oh, Kenny Pickett threw an interception. Kenny Pickett went 21 for 40.
Whatever. Special K?
Special K. Okay.
Touchdown Kenny.
K-Money?
K-Money?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It needs to be something unrelated to his name, probably like the Iceman or something. Something like that.
The Ice Pick?
Yeah, the Ice Pick. Yeah, again, interception pick. We'll workshop it for Kenny.
Right.
We can change his career.
Couple more good games, and we'll find a nickname for Kenny Pickett. And
Kenny!
New look Steelers offense. But we'll start with a guy who used to play for the Steelers and now will play against the Steelers in James Conner.
You killed us, Kenny.
Was you talking about, South Park?
Yeah. We go down the South Park road on this show once in a while. Yeah. I mean, blame Canada.
I'm thinking about the song Kenny by my little homie Kenny died tonight. And it's talking about Kenny from South Park.
Anyways, James Conner at the Steelers.
As long as we're talking South Park for 10 seconds, my 12-year-old daughters, have discovered South Park. They've discovered South Park reruns. And it's one of those things where they're like, I'll walk in and I'll be like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to watch South Park. And then like something, and then like I'm sitting there for like 45 seconds and it's funny. You know what I mean? It's such a
you
funny show.
South
and I'm just
Park.
Like, I get it. I'm gonna. And then they do something horribly obscene. And I'm like, what? No. You're 12. Darn it. You know, and I, anyway, whatever.
Goes well with your, Walter White in the lab.
Yes. What are you going to do?
Jay, James Conner against the Steelers. He's RB24 for Barry this week. Is he a keep it open or close it out in this Arizona offense?
I think he might be a close it out, which sounds strange given how well he started the season. But he hasn't come back to the same workload, I think, even with Kyler Murray now spearheading the offense. He just hasn't gotten the same work around the goal line. And the Steelers' run defense with Cam Hayward back, I think, is just an improved unit. So not particularly inspiring, particularly as the Cardinals are 5.5-point dogs.
Lawrence, what about you?
Since Kyler Murray's come back, he's had a rushing touchdown in each game. That's taken away from James Conner. Jay alluded, he talked about the Steelers' run defense. In the past 3 weeks, outside of a 40-yard run by A.J. Dillon, they've allowed under 3 yards per carry for three straight weeks. So that's concerning. Conner himself running the ball hasn't been bad, still averaging 4.5 yards per carry. But you said opportunity. And the Steelers' run defense is why I'm going to have to close them out. RB26 is sweet for me.
So, yes, I agree with everything all you guys said. And so if, like, we were doing a buy, hold, sell for the rest of the season, he would be a sell for me because it's not just Kyler Murray who's taken some rushing away from him. It's also Clayton Toon. They're using Clayton Toon and kind of their version of the brotherly shove, tush-push as well. The other thing that's concerning about James Conner is that, like, in 3 games since returning, he's got 6 total receiving yards. Part of the argument for James Conner was that he was going to get receiving work, that he was a true 3-down back. Last year, he got a ton of receiving work. They're just not using him that way this year in that offense. And so he's basically become Gus Edwards, which is a touchdown-dependent first, second-down guy that if he doesn't get in the end zone, he's single-digit fantasy points. Having said all that, I'm actually keeping it open because because he's had at least 16 touches in 2 of the 3 games since coming back from IR. There are 6 teams on a bye this week. You know, the Bills, the Vikings, the Giants, the Raiders, the Ravens, and the Bears. And so I don't know that you have the luxury of saying, hey, here's a running back on an offense that isn't awful. That's going to get 15 to 20 touches. Like, again, the Steelers' defense is really good. But, like, do we think the Steelers blow out the Cardinals? We don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Cardinals, I mean, they barely beat the Bengals. The Bengals are an awful defense, and they had no T. Higgins and no Joe Burrow, and they still won by 6 points.
Yep.
So I think the Cardinals keep this relatively close. So I'm begrudgingly keeping it open this week because you might be desperate and you need a running back. Again, I'm at running back 24. Like, ideally, you're not starting him. I'm with everything you guys are saying, but, like, I have to sort of still keep it open because 15 touches on an offense that isn't awful.
That's
in
fair.
A week with 6 teams on a bye.
And you think coming off the injury as well, his usage should only scale up as we go later. And also, just by the way, Clayton Toon, his season. So he gets to play the Cleveland Browns defense in his one start, gets completely annihilated, and now his job is to come in for plays where he can get just eviscerated by bodies of linemen collapsing on him. Not great for Clayton Toon.
Great role for him, though. You know, he getting reps.
But Clayton Toon, unlike Kyler Murray, is a big guy, like Lawrence Jackson, like Lawrence, Clayton Toon, two guys you can bring in.
Just a couple of 6'5" guys, you know, doing our jobs.
Exactly. Just pushing the ball forward.
Our next one here, Jerome Ford against the Rams. He's RB27 this week for Barry. I mean, Jay, with Jerome Ford so far, the production's been steady, but the touches are starting to go down right now. And a Cleveland offense that has a lot of issues, especially under center.
It does have a lot of issues. Now, they do get something of a panacea in the Rams' defense, which is not very good. But you do worry about the work that's going to Kareem Hunt. You worry about their ability to sustain drives. Still don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for this team, whether it's DTR, which is probably unlikely given that
Flacco.
He has the concussion. I mean, it could be Joe Flacco. And honestly, with how bad PJ Walker's been, I think Flacco might just be better than PJ Walker at this point. And so Jerome Ford, when he's gotten the ball, he's done really well. He is providing value in fantasy. And I think with the matchup, to me, it's a keep it open. But I don't feel amazing about it. I just like the matchup against the Rams.
Yeah, you're not going to feel amazing about it. But I'm going to keep this open as well. Last game, he had 9 carries for 65 yards. The Rams have allowed at least 4 receptions to running backs in the past 3 games, and that's exactly what he had in week 12. So, you know, you're going to be, if you're starting 4, you're going to be battling with Kareem Hunt, but you just have to know that, you know, it. You go in knowing it's a timeshare. He scored, Ford scored the week before that, so Kareem Hunt's no longer taking all of the goal line touches, so we'll keep it open for Ford this week.
I'm also keeping it open for Ford. Again, I'm at running back 27s. I mean, I just kept running back 24 open, so it'd be weird if I closed it out on Jerome Ford. He's had double-digit fantasy points in 4 straight, double-digit target share in 3 of the past 4. I get it. Like, this offense, who knows whether it's DTR or P.J. Walker under center. You don't absolutely love the matchup against the Rams, although I don't know that you're completely scared of it. They're middle of the pack. They're 14th against the run over the last 4 weeks as well. And so, you know, listen, they've been using Kareem Hunt more when they get in close, but with whether it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson or P.J. Walker, I expect Kevin Stefanski to say, like, we're just going to run. We're just going to run. We're like ultimate game manager here, kind of. So there's a chance that Ford and Hunt both touch the ball between 15 and 20 times in this game, as long as the Browns can keep it close. And I think thanks to their defense, they will be able to keep it somewhat competitive here against the Rams. So, again, he's a low-end flex, and you're hoping he falls in the end zone. But because there's a little bit of passing down volume and because he does have big playability, I'm going to keep it open.
Chris Godwin here, Matthew, typically a staple of fantasy lineups and somebody that you start and don't think about. I mean, the reality is right now, over the last month, he's not even a top 50 wide receiver in fantasy. Is it finally time to close this one out?
It is for me. Single-digit fantasy points now in 4 straight games. He's wide receiver 56 on a points-per-game basis over the last month. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, wide receiver 56. Here's some of the wide receivers that have had more fantasy points since week 9, more total fantasy points. Dontavian Wicks, Brandon Powell, Jameson Williams. Like, he's had 4 or fewer receptions in 3 of the past 4 games. He is the only wide receiver with 50 or more receptions and fewer than 2 receiving touchdowns this season. When they get in close, they're always looking for Mike Evans, also some Rashad White. Just hasn't happened for him as well. Playing the Carolina Panthers this weekend as well. Carolina, weirdly, and I think it's partially because teams are so successful at running the ball against them, but they're actually a decent pass defense. They've been the fifth best pass defense in the NFL over the last 4 weeks. So I'm closing it out on Chris Godwin. He is wide receiver 33. Even with 6 teams on a bye, I can't find a way to get him inside my top 30 this week.
I'm going to keep this real quick. I'm going to close it out, but you guys who are watching and listening, you could keep it open. Just depends on what you want. You want 5 catches for 50 yards? Keep it open. I don't want that. I'm trying to get into the fantasy playoffs. That's exactly what he's averaged over his last 7 games. 4.5 receptions for 50 yards. So I have to close that out. I got him at wide receiver 30.
Yep, close for me as well. Just no ceiling to his play at the moment.
Another wide receiver up next, and Adam Thielen against those Bucks. I mean, the bottom line is with Thielen, who had a hot start to the season, Jay, we talked about how Bryce Young in this passing offense almost looks worse in recent weeks now, and Thielen is a guy that's going to struggle with that.
Yeah, I think you have to keep it open on Adam Thielen. Just the body of work across the whole season is so impressive from his perspective. I know he had a 0 out of 10 game on the weekend against the Titans, but I'm ready to dismiss that. Given the broader sample, he's still the best option in that offense by far, I think.
I agree with you. Look, brutal week last week, right? Bad day at the office, 1 reception for 2 yards on a season low 3 targets. But prior to week 12, he had a season high 42% target share in week 11. He's had 15 or more fantasy points in 7 of his 11 games played this season.
The Buccaneers allow the fourth most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. They've allowed at least a 100-yard receiver in three of the past four games. And we think, if you're saying to me the Buccaneers are giving up 100 yards this weekend, you feel better that it's going to be Thielen and not Jonathan Mingo. Who knows? New offense coordinator, new play caller in Carolina, so certainly variance, you never know. But you would expect he's still Bryce Young. He's still looking for the veteran wide receiver who can get open, who understands to find spaces and zones, who run those routes. He's my wide receiver 19 this week. I'm keeping it open on Adam Thielen.
Speaking of Jonathan Mingo, they are trying to get him involved a little more, but to y'all's point, I wouldn't, you know, look at that and say, oh, you know, they're getting old Adam Thielen out of there. In the past four games, he's only averaged 5 catches and 36 yards. But, again, you mentioned this Tampa Bay defense, and he's still playing 95% of the snaps. So he ain't coming off the field. So we got to keep it open on Adam Thielen.
Our next one, Puka Nacua here, Barry. Tough Browns defense. The target share has been fine since Cooper Kupp has been back. But Jay kind of highlighted earlier with Matthew Stafford, based on the matchup, you don't know what you're going to get, and you definitely are more fearful when it's a viable defense like Cleveland's.
I'm closing it out on Puka Nacua, and I'll also say about Cooper Kupp. I mean, I've gotten questions on Twitter about should we keep it open on Cooper Kupp? Right here, look, a Scarecrow wrote me, "Dear Matthew Berry TMR, watch the Fantasy Football Happy Hour each week and read your love-hate content. Is it time to close it out on Kupp? He's had under 7 points each of his last five games. Happy holidays and enjoy your Hanukkah celebrations." I intend to.
Thank you, Scarecrow.
Thank you, Scarecrow, for sure. And by the way, absolutely right. Single-digit fantasy points in five straight for Cooper Kupp with Puka Nacua. He's had under 50 receiving yards in three of the past four. He's had one game with more than five receptions since week six. I'm still keeping – so if you're telling me, like, you don't feel great about both these guys against the Browns, I feel better about Kupp. So I'm still keeping it open on Kupp because just I think body of work looks like he's healthy. And what's giving me some encouraging there is you see it there on your screen. Going quiet the last two games, Kupp with only six targets. Remember, 2 weeks ago he left the game early with an injury. But still, you know, Nacua has been the better guy the last 2 weeks. But again, I think that's skewed by that week 11 game against Seattle when Kupp left the game early with that ankle injury. I'm closing it out on Puka Nacua. I'm at wide receiver 29. I am still keeping it open on Cooper Kupp, who I have as a borderline top 20 play this week. I just think the body of work here for Kupp versus Nacua, the fact is that he had 100% route participation last week, 88% play to the snap. So, you know, whatever. Higbee caught the two touchdowns, and they didn't need to get Kupp involved because they just ran all over Arizona. Yeah, Kyron Williams had this monster game. They're not going to be able to run that way against Cleveland. They're going to have to go with our tried and true. And so, begrudging, I get the question with Cooper Kupp. It's been bad, but I'm still keeping it open based on track record.
I would keep it open. Hope. I'd keep it open on both of them just because I don't think that they're going to be able to run the ball against Cleveland. I think that Kupp, you have to start just because he's still Cooper Kupp. It's another week removed from the injury. But because he is clearly banged up and not 100%, I think there is a chance Nacua is the number one option in the offense, just if Kupp is not right. And either way, I just don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. And Cleveland is so good against tight ends. And Denzel Ward is banged up. I'm not sure if he's going to play. And so I think that Nacua and Kupp. And here's the good thing about those two guys is that against Cleveland's defense, like, they're not dependent on deep balls or 30-yard passes down the middle. They're dependent on shorter, more intermediate stuff. And so I think just particularly for PPR leagues, I think that they're just going to accumulate enough receptions to both be viable.
I'm going to keep it closed on Puka, open on Kupp, and just to give a little more context, I feel better about guys like Nico Collins and Michael Pittman than I do about both of these Rams receivers heading into week 13.
We opened the segment with Kenny Pickett, a positive Kenny Pickett about the new direction the Steelers play calling has taken, and we look at Deontay Johnson against the Cardinals here, Jay. He's wide receiver 24 for Barry. And we know with Deontay, typically a consistent player, but now single-digit fantasy points in three straight games. Can you trust him going forward in this one, or is it time to close it out?
No, I'd keep it open on Deontay. I still believe in Deontay. And his numbers are skewed last week. Like, he caught a touchdown.
Right.
He literally had a touchdown, and they just didn't challenge it for some reason. And so it was called incomplete. If he has that touchdown, his numbers look a lot better. Arizona pass defense is just an absolute mess is the main thing. Stafford was able to do whatever he wanted last week.
Three straight games with a 25% target share. I get it. The fantasy production hasn't followed, but I think it will happen against an Arizona Cardinals defense that allows the highest catch rate to wide receivers this season. Last week, the Steelers had their second most dropbacks in a game all season under the new offensive coordinator and play calling there. I'm at wide receiver 24. I'm with you, Jay. I'm keeping it open on Deontay
Johnson.
I'm going
to keep this open. I don't know how the Rams.
For Special K.
I don't know how a Rams receiver didn't score against them last week, but in the three out of the five last games before that, a receiver has scored against the Cardinals. And like you said, Deontay Johnson literally had a touchdown right there. You know, no Matt Canada, whoop-de-woo, whatever. He still had eight targets last week for the 58 yards. I'm going to keep it open.
Our final one, Lawrence, Kyle Pitts against the Jets. He's tight end 13 for Berry this week with Kyle Pitts. When you look at the
for
full
your
sample,
Atlanta Falcons.
For your Atlanta Falcons, full sample size. He's just not involved in the offense on a week-by-week basis.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Bijan, Drake London, they're good to go right now. Kyle Pitts has had two games where he's had more than 10 points this season in fantasy. That's not consistent enough. I'm going to close it out. This game is the lowest game total of all games this weekend at 34.5. So you're certainly not going to trust the what would be fourth option right after Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, and sometimes Jonnu Smith. I got to close it out.
Jay, what about you with Kyle Pitts?
Closed on Kyle Pitts. Just really tough matchup against the Jets. They've been a lead against tight ends this season. And to Lawrence's point, he's just not involved enough.
It's super weird considering how brilliant a quarterback Desmond Ridder is, according to one of my friends. But he's had single-digit fantasy points in five straight, under 15 fantasy points in 87% of his career games. He is my tight end 13. Jets, by the way, have been pretty good against tight ends. Six fewest fantasy points to opposing tight ends. I am closing it out on Kyle Pitts.
Let's recap, keep it open,
but I love
close
you.
It out with Matthew's rankings. James Conner and Jerome Ford both stay open. Chris Godwin is a close. Adam Thielen is an open. Puka Nacua, close. Deontay Johnson, open. And Kyle Pitts against the Jets, a close. We are taking our
Cup
last
is
break.
An open, too.
Cup, keep Cooper Kupp stays open, Puka Nacua closed. With that, we go to our last break. When we're back, it's last call. Hear which sides and totals we've circled for the weekend right after this.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. With that, it is time for Last Call, and we are looking at some early lines here. Jay, what do you got your eye on for the weekend?
Got the Indianapolis Colts -1 at the Tennessee Titans. Blockbuster matchup in the AFC South, this one, Connor. I think the Colts defense is playing much better than expected. DeForest Buckner, Samson Ebukam giving them a pass rush. And I think that even with Jonathan Taylor out, I think Zach Moss will come in, and they shouldn't miss too much of a beat in the running game. I think also that this Tennessee secondary is still exploitable, and Gardner Minshew behind that offensive line will be able to find Pittman, Downs, and co. And in a game that they need to win to stay in the playoff hunt, I think they'll take care of a Titans team that I think was about to put the cue in the rack.
Lawrence, what about you?
I'm looking at Broncos at Texans -3.5. I like the Broncos to win this outright. I'm on the money line there. After the Broncos beat the Bills in Week 10, I just – like, these guys are going to go on a run, and the run is running right now. Russell Wilson, 20 touchdown passes and 4 picks, and it's like, it ain't being talked about enough. Like, no, that's good about. Right now in the NFL, in the league where we're talking about bad quarterback play. he's playing good. I like the Broncos to beat the surging Texans.
Can I say,
let's ride.
Although, there you go.
Look at that graphic of Russell Wilson. That is not anywhere close to Russell Wilson. I don't know.
He looked more like Sam Howell.
That might be Broncos Drew Lock.
Exactly.
Sam Howell in 2029.
It's some random player that has a number 3 jersey on it.
It's kind of terrifying when you think about it.
It's not even close to Russell
Sam
Wilson.
Sam Hartman from Notre Dame.
It's just something.
That's what you get for $18.
Apparently. Fair enough. All right. So, I'm taking the Browns getting 3.5 at the Rams. So, first off, Stefanski 10-5 against the spread when Cleveland is a 3 or 3.5 point underdog or more since 2020. But here's the thing. The Browns are 7-4. The Rams are 5-6. I get it. Browns are down to a backup quarterback. But anytime, this is just one of those dumb gambling rules that anytime a winning team is getting points from a losing team with a losing record, as ugly as it may seem, take the winning team. It works out about 2/3 of the time. Give me the Browns.
I like the Cardinals getting 5.5 points against the Steelers. Steelers will win, but all they do is play close games every single week.
I like that. Closing time. Go home. For Jay Lawrence and Connor Matthew, peace out.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.